Imagine going into a church. The people, as you just listen in on conversation, that they are largely ungrateful, self-absorbed, a lot of complaining. You just hear that a lot. And you would say to yourself, you know, they profess to be Christian. They say that they believe. Got a nice sign up over their church, but their speech betrays them.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, unfortunately, all of us have probably been in a church like that. We've kind of picked up on the fact that it seems like the people there have been complaining.
Well, there's the root of sinful nature in all of us, and I know I complain too much. And
I think we all do at times.
That would be true, I think, quite widely. But you know what strikes me here is that the congregation complaining, if you say, where's that in the Bible? It's out in the desert with Moses and all these people grumbling. They're never satisfied with the leader and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And that is a manifestation of their flesh. It is just how we are in our fallen nature. And the big contrast is that when you come to the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit is poured out, you have a small congregation, 120 believers.
Yeah.
They're filled with the Spirit. They're not complaining. They're praising God. They're full of thanksgiving. And they're not focused on themselves and their problems, but they really are filled with a sense of the wonderful works of God. Now, you look at these two congregations, there is no doubt at all about which one I want to be part of.
Sure.
And which group of people I want to become more like. And there's what the church is. And that's reality. When the church is filled with the Holy Spirit, what a wonderful sense of thanksgiving and praise there is. That's the mark of the reality of the presence of the Spirit. I want more of that. I want more of that for myself, more of that in the church.
And we're going to see that today from the book of Joel, chapter 2. We're looking at verses 28 through 32 as we continue a message of faith that is more than believing. Here's Pastor Colin.
Notice what God says will happen when the Spirit is poured out. It gives us the evidence of the presence of the Spirit in people's lives. Three things. Number one, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's what will happen when the Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Now, to prophesy, here's a simple definition. To prophesy is simply to be prompted by God to speak the right word at the right time in the right way. To be prompted by God to speak the right word, the right time, in the right way. And not only that, that's the first thing. Here's the second. Your old men shall dream dreams. So here are hope-filled seniors. Marvelous. Older saints who are dreaming dreams. What does that mean? It means older saints who are filled with confidence with regards to what God can do on earth and filled with growing anticipation of what God has prepared in heaven. And along with that, when the Spirit is outpoured, not only do you have hope-filled seniors, but young men shall see visions. So here we have mission-focused youngsters, a new generation rising up. And again, this is God's a work of God's Spirit, that young people have a passion and a sense of mission and vision. They see visions. And that's a miracle of God's Spirit, because when you're young, you're absorbed with the now. Life comes towards you when you are young. And all the new music and all the new media and all the new gadgets, you're the target audience for everything that's coming. And it's coming at an extraordinary rate towards you. And it's so easy to be completely consumed by it all. But here are some young people now. The Spirit has been poured out on them. And they see through all of this. They see beyond the little screen. And they have a perception, as if they had X-ray eyes. They see eternal things. Most young people never think about eternal things. But here are young people who are able to frame their lives early in the light of eternity. And for that reason, they have a passion to glorify God and to make a difference in the world. And they're seeing through the shallowness and the trivia of what's consuming a generation around them. And you put these two things together, and there's a Spirit-filled church. Older saints who, along with mission-focused younger people with vision and enterprise, the older saints are coming alongside and having great confidence in what God can do on earth. So they're saying, go for it, and we're praying for you, and we're with you, and they're encouraging, and they're helping young folks to look towards the future. The Spirit anticipated in the prayer of Moses, and the Spirit promised through the prophet Joel. If Moses was listening to these words of Joel, he'd say, boy, that would be so different from everything I experienced with the people of God in the desert. So different. Now let's move forward to the book of Acts. Book of Acts and chapter 2. And here's our third last stopping place, the Spirit of God given through the Lord Jesus Christ. Anticipated by Moses, promised by Joel, but given through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know this story, most of you, very well, the day of Pentecost. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, who's they? Well, the they is a reference back to chapter 1 and verse 15, where we're told about a company of 120 believers. Now, that's very important for this reason. The company that was gathered on the day of Pentecost was not the apostles only. It wasn't the 12, it was the whole congregation. There only was one congregation in those days, and there were 120 of them, but all of the people of God, the congregation, was all gathered together in one place on the day of Pentecost. And suddenly, verse 2, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were, notice the word and help me, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key point here. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does that mean? Well, it means simply this, that God gave to these believers an ability, a spontaneous ability, to speak in languages they had never learned. They were not educated people. They'd never been to other countries, and they did not have Rosetta Stone. But suddenly and spontaneously, they're speaking in language. It must have been such a surprise to them. I speak a language I never learned. And God enabled them to do that for this particular purpose. The significance in verse 5, there was a large crowd of people from every nation. And they're all speaking different languages. And this multicultural crowd gathers together. And they hear the 120 believers. They're all speaking different languages. Can you imagine what happens? 120 people all speaking different languages at the same time. It must have sounded very confusing. And then, you know, you listen and you say, hey, that guy over there is speaking English. So what do? You go over and you stand beside the guy who's speaking English. If you speak Japanese, and some folks are listening right now to translation as I'm speaking in Japanese, and if you were there on the day of Pentecost, you go to the person who's speaking your language and you're able to communicate. And so very quickly what happens is that every believer has a little cluster of people around him or her, and the little cluster of people are listening to these believers declaring the wonderful works of God. By the way, that's a beautiful picture, because God will place people around you with whom you can communicate this week. And they're placed around you, not around me, not around the person next to you, just around you. And some of you can speak languages that I cannot speak, like hip. I don't do that. Or cool. I don't do that. But the point is that God has gifted us, even within the English language, let alone the other languages that are spoken, we are given the ability by God to be able to communicate with all different kinds of people. People you can touch that I in my entire life would never be able to reach, but they've been placed around you so that you can take what you're learning of the wonderful works of God and declare that to them. It's beautiful. This is the church filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is a marvelous, marvelous thing. And Peter gets up and he explains to the crowd what is happening. And he says this, verse 16. Notice it. This is what was uttered through the prophet, say it with me, Joel. See? That the last days, as God declares, I will pour out my spirit on, say it with me, all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So here, the 120, and they're all ministering. It's wonderful. And think how different this was from the people, the crowd in the time of Moses. The crowd in the time of Moses. Oh, yes, we believe. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we bear the name of the Lord. But they're complaining and they're self-absorbed and they're really ungrateful for all of the mercies of God that come to them daily. And now here are this congregation in the city of Jerusalem. And they're filled with the Spirit, and they're very different. They are declaring the works of God. They're filled with praise and thanksgiving and gratitude, and people around them are seeing this, and it calls for an explanation. And Peter is able then to get up and to speak to them about Christ. I wonder if God allowed Moses to look down on this scene, and I wonder if Moses was saying, oh, if only it could have happened in the desert. This is wonderful. It is remarkable.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called A Faith That Is More Than Believing, originally part of a series from the book of Joel called Restored. It's one of the most listened to messages of the past year, and we've taken this message and other top sermons and we've bundled them together in a series called Listener Favorites. You can get a copy on CD. Ask about Listener Favorites when you call 1-877-OPEN-365 or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Imagine going into a church in which you find, whatever the service is like, that the people, as you just listen in on conversation, that they are largely ungrateful, self-absorbed, a lot of complaining. You just hear that a lot. And you would say to yourself, you know, they profess to be Christian. They say that they believe. Got a nice sign up over their church, but their speech betrays them. Their speech betrays them. And imagine the next Sunday you go into a church, and just as you're listening around, what you're really hearing from people is a great sense of gratitude and a great sense of praise to God. Would you not say, comparing the two experiences, no, this church is where the real Christians are, of the second one? Because there is the evidence of the Spirit of Jesus in these people. So here's the obvious question that comes out of all of this for us, and it's a question that all of us, speaker and hearers alike, do need to frame for ourselves. To which group do you belong? As I have to put my life under the scope of God's word before I ever try to speak from it, now I ask the question. And I see too much complaining still in my own life and too little gratitude, which leads me to say, as a Christian who has the Spirit, every Christian is given the Spirit of God. But I look at these things and it makes me say, oh God, I need more of your Spirit. And how can that happen? Well, how did it happen on the day of Pentecost? What caused it? What led to the outpouring of the Spirit? Well, Peter makes it perfectly clear here. Verse 22, men of Israel hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. He goes to Jesus. Jesus is the explanation of everything that's happening here, because Jesus is the one who pours out the Spirit. And this Jesus, he was attested to you by signs and wonders, verse 22. He's delivered up according to the definite plan of God, verse 23. You crucified him. Verse 24, God raised him up. And then jumping to verse 33, God raised him up, and being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus, has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. It's all because of Jesus. That's what he says. Now, in the Bible speaks about the Spirit being sent by the Father and of the Spirit being sent by the Son. The Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of the Father as well as the Spirit of the Son. Here's what matters. The outpouring of the Spirit from the Father and through the Son happens because of the finished work of Jesus Christ through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension. He's now at the right hand of the Father, and therefore he pours out in the light of his finished work on his people, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is poured out on who? Those who look to him in faith and are walking with him in obedience, these 120 people. So you follow through the story. It gives you the answer to the question, how can I know more of the Holy Spirit in my life? And the answer is simply this. You give more of yourself to God and you ask God to give more of himself to you. You give more of yourself to God because God cannot fill what he does not have. You place yourself into his hands so that he may fill you. And you're going into another week, and as you go into another day, you live with a sense of your own need of the empowering and the equipping and the strengthening and the prompting of the Holy Spirit to be able to live as one of the 120 lived and not like the folks in the desert. In the light of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices, says the apostle. That's what I have to do, and I seek to do it as I move through life on a continuing and on a deepening basis. Lord, here am I. Take me, use me, fill me. God gives his Spirit, Peter says in Acts 5:32, to those who obey him. So you walk in obedience to Christ. That's what it means to live a Christian life. And then as you're giving yourself to him, you're asking him to give more of himself to you. The way to seek more of the Spirit is to come to the one whose completed work on the cross and triumphant resurrection from the dead led to the pouring out of the Spirit at Pentecost. Christ is the one who has the Spirit without measure, and Christ is the one who imparts the Spirit into the lives of his people. One story, and then we're through. Early in my ministry, I began to feel a profound need for more of God's Spirit, and I still do, and I hope that I always will. I feel the weight of Christ's words, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. How hopeless is all the work of preaching and pastoring and leading unless God should breathe upon it and give it life by his Spirit. I had some preaching heroes in these early days, and I still do now. There was one man in particular whose preaching had been a great blessing to me. There was the way that he spoke of Christ and the incisiveness with which his speaking came to my heart. I wanted something more of what he had and sensed what I think I could only describe as an anointing upon his ministry. One day I was at a conference in which he was one of the speakers. There were just about 100 of us there. It wasn't a large group. And we were there for 3 days, and so there was good opportunity to interact with those who ministered to us. And I decided that I would ask this man to pray for me. I think I felt that if he prayed for me, something of what I admired in him might rub off on me in some way. You've perhaps felt that with someone that you admire yourself. And we sat down during a coffee break during this conference, and I told him about the hunger in my soul. I said, I want more of God's Spirit. Will you pray for me? And he paused and he said, you know where he comes from. And that was it. You know where he comes from. And it is to this day the only time I have ever asked someone to pray for me and been refused. And he was absolutely right to do what he did. And I've always been so thankful for it. It's been life-shaping. He discerned, and I have no doubt that God gave him discernment, that I was looking to this pastor as if he was the giver of the Spirit rather than Christ. And he gave me the best advice that anyone could ever give. Go to Christ. You know where he comes from. He said it with such warmth and affection. You know where he comes from. Go to Christ. And that is what I have tried to do and what I am still doing and what I will continue to do until the day when faith is turned to sight, and what the Apostle Paul prays for believers will be true of me, as in the presence of Jesus it will be true of you, to be filled with all the fullness of God. And until that day, I'm going to keep coming to Christ and saying, I want more, I need more, I need to be refreshed, I need for today. Oh, fill me with thy fullness, Lord. What about you? The New Testament commands us as Christians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. When is the last time that you came to God to express your desire? And what do you see of yourself in today? Are you, as you look at your own life, honestly, full of thanksgiving? Or would you say that there was in your life just too much complaining and ingratitude and me, me, me? Oh, fill me with your fullness, Lord, until my very heart overflows.
I don't know about you, but I'm both encouraged and challenged by the way we wrap up today's teaching here on Open the Bible. I mean, when was the last time that you prayed that you would be filled with all the fullness of God? And if you're not praying like that, why not today? Well, today's message is called A Faith That Is More Than Believing. Originally part of a series on the book of Joel, but it's been one of the most listened to messages of the past year. We've taken this and the other top messages and bundled them together in a series called Listener Favorites 2025. You can find out how you can get a copy of the series on CD when you visit our website, openthebible.org, or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on the station, make the website, the app, and all the ministry resources available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy of Nancy Guthrie's book as our way of saying thanks. It's called I'm Praying for You, 40 Days of Praying the Bible for Someone Who's Suffering. And Colin, what makes this book different than other books on prayer?
Well, it's not so much a book that you would read as a book that you would use. And some folks listening to us, Steve, might be saying, I don't have time to read another book. Well, this is actually a resource that you would use to shape your praying for someone else in your life that you're committed to praying for. And here's how it works. Nancy Guthrie gives us very wonderfully 40 different ways of praying for someone we love or someone who is suffering, someone who's in a particular need. They're all drawn directly from Scripture. And what she does is in just a few paragraphs, she points to a Scripture, explains what it means, and then frames a prayer that you can actually use for someone that you love and care for, someone in need in your own life. So the way to use this book is to identify someone, or maybe two or three people that you're praying for, and then use the book as a resource to guide and shape your praying over a period of 40 days. And what you're going to find is this, that your praying will be fresh. You will be drawing from the Scriptures, and you'll have the confidence of knowing that you're praying according to God's will, because whatever is in the Scripture is the will of God for His people.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. Again, it's called I'm Praying for You, 40 Days of Praying the Bible for Someone Who's Suffering. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, that's openthebible.org or 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.